Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Doing well. I'll ask you the question I've been asking everybody else all day today. Say the Packers do get enough wins and put themselves into the postseason. What does that then say about Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, Dom Capers, and company?
A lot. An incredible resume-making amount, in my opinion. Like that, what happens in these next 10 games is going to mean so much, I believe, in the way that Packers fans across the country view Mike McCarthy as a coach, view Dom Capers as a defensive coordinator, view Ted Thompson and the front office as elite-level roster builders. These 10 games mean everything. If this was a situation where, like in 2013, where the Packers were about to plug in Seneca Wallace, a guy who wasn't even with the team throughout preseason. Remember, that was the Vince Young, Graham Harrell preseason roster battle to be the backup, and neither of them won the job, and they gave it to Seneca Wallace, who later became Scott Tolzien. This is a much better situation that the Packers are in at the quarterback position. Having this be the third year for Brett Hundley, Mike McCarthy is often referred to as the quarterback guru or the quarterback whisperer or being a quarterback specialist, really. And if this is his third year with Brett Hundley and Hundley does really well, it will mean a lot for McCarthy, not just as a head coach and his resume and the way I think people look at how good of a coach he is, but in terms of, yeah, this guy really is great with quarterbacks. If the flip side happens and these next 10 games don't go so well and the Packers finish out 3-7 or something, I think that's a tough thing for then Mike McCarthy to be able to this is a chance, put it this way, Bill, it's his chance to prove that, yes, Aaron Rodgers is amazing, and Aaron Rodgers is the reason that this team is as elite as it's been, and that it's been in the playoffs for all of these consecutive years, but that even if it is down to a backup quarterback that he's had 3 years to groom and 3 years to work with, they should still be an above-average team. And if they are, if they finish 7-3 over these last 10, or even 6-4, I think it will speak volumes, huge volumes in terms of how good of a coach he is. And again, if the flip side happens and they don't do well, it will be an interesting offseason on your radio show for people to be able to vent and say, was Mike McCarthy really that good? So I am beyond fascinated to see how these next 10 games go in the absence of Aaron Rodgers.
I wanted to ask you about Brett Hundley coming in and what your expectation is. If you don't have a healthy Bakhtiari, if you don't have Bulaga, what are the expectations?
If you don't have those guys, set your expectations low. It would seem like from the practice report today, those two guys are out there practicing now, and it was a padded practice. So that's an encouraging sign. I don't know if it means everything. It certainly doesn't guarantee that they're going to play, but it means something that those guys are out there. But if they, for whatever reason, don't play, and this is a game with Justin McCray at left tackle, and let's say where Lucas Patrick is back in at left guard, and the situation that they've been in, where how they finished the game this past Sunday, if that's what happens, I don't care who the backup quarterback is. That backup quarterback is going to struggle. I don't care who the offensive play caller is. That offensive play caller is not going to look like a great play caller, because not only do you have your backup quarterback, but you have 3/5 of your starting offensive line hurt. On the flip side, if Bakhtiari and Bulaga play, even if Lane Taylor doesn't play, like let's say Lucas Patrick or McCray get the start at left guard or whatever the case might be, but the two tackles are out there, then I think it's fair to set your expectations at a medium level. Don't be going out there expecting to see Aaron Rodgers level play. So really, the way that Hundley plays, for me, at least the expectations of how he would play going in, do rest a lot on if Bakhtiari and Bulaga play. If those two guys are out there, I think Mike McCarthy can execute most of the game plan the way he might otherwise do it. But if it's another situation of four guards and a tackle plus Brett Hundley as quarterback, then I think we'd all be wise to set our expectations fairly low. So let's wait to see how Bakhtiari and Bulaga kind of progress throughout the week.
Time with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, brought to you by the Sprinkler Fitters. And Paul, the offense can go off for 35 points. I just don't know if the defense can stop Drew Brees.
Yeah, I know there were not all the points that the Saints scored last week were on the offensive end. They had the pick six and the other stuff that happened, but they put up 52, right? Was it 52 against Detroit? And Detroit came in as a pretty highly respected defense. I think going into that game, most people would have said Detroit was a top 10, worst case top 12 defense. That seemed to be the you know, the opinion across the league, if you were to weigh everybody's and kind of make a consensus out of it. The Packers, especially when they're banged up, are usually fortunate to find themselves among the top half of the league in terms of the way that people look at them as a defense. Now, Kevin King being cleared, Devon House seeming to be on his way to playing, that is hugely helpful for obvious reasons. Quentin Rollins is now on injured reserve. You're now even one guy removed on your depth chart because of Rollins not being out there. If King and House play, they have a much, much better chance of at least slowing down Drew Brees. But you're right. It's, you know, this is a game that will have seemingly, I mean, I know we're 72 hours out, but favorable weather conditions for a passing offense like the Saints to come in and be the high-powered offense they can be. And having Kevin King and Devon House out there would certainly help a lot. But, I mean, would it really surprise anybody if the Saints came in and scored 30-plus points? I wouldn't be surprised, and not just because the Packers' defense, you know, has things to prove, but this is an offense that we've known for years. And nothing, in fact, if anything, the Saints' offense has seemingly gotten better as Drew Brees has gotten older. I mean, this year what they're doing has certainly been impressive. And you see the coming on here of Alvin Kamara, the running back. Obviously, Ingram is coming off a big week. They can put up points, so it'll be a fun test to see if the Packers defense. But now, let's face it, they have a lot more on their plate. The Packers defense does to help win the Packers this game than they would have had Rodgers been out there. And let's see if they can keep the Saints below. I don't know what would be a subtle win for the Packers if they kept the defense under. If the defense kept Saints under 24. Would that be a moral victory?
Oh, I think if the Packers won, I mean, if the Packers went out and put up 30 and won 30-29, I think people would be ecstatic. I don't think people would care if the defense gave up a bunch of points as long as the offense was able to move and they felt like they had a semblance of hope.
Yeah, and that's what the hard thing is. Is it fair? Like let's say Bulaga and Bakhtiari do play. Is it fair to expect the Packers offense to put up 30? The Saints defense isn't great, but they're rapidly improving. I was looking at some of the Pro Football Focus numbers for the Saints defense, and they have some guys really making noise and seemingly coming on. I haven't seen a lot of Saints games yet this year. I got to see a little bit of their one against Detroit this past weekend. Obviously, the Lions put up that big comeback. But with Brett Hundley in there and the other wild cards at the offensive tackle positions, it might be asking a lot to have that offense go out and score 30 against the Saints. And by that same token, then, if you're going to win the game, the Packers' defense might have to have this be a 23-point, you know, where they only allow 21, 23, 24 points. And that is, like we said, asking a lot. I think there's a very good reason why the odds for this game have so heavily favored the Saints in the recent days since the Aaron Rodgers injury.
Also, I wanted to ask you, we talked about the defense, but specifically Vince Beagle's back in the practice field. You know, I know that he's being looked at, and I mentioned this earlier. He's the guy that kind of becomes that linchpin as to whether or not they did or did not take T.J. Watt. And when you look at it, if he comes in and plays really well, then people tend to forget about that, the fact that they get passed on T.J. Watt and all. So what do you think, first of all, when do you think Vince Beagle finds the field? And secondly, what does he have to do as far as to really solidify that linebacking position? Because if he plays well, he starts giving you rush or whatever off the edge, we'll just say, and then suddenly Blake Martinez is back and he's healthy and Clay's starting to feel, it goes from being an area of weakness to all of a sudden it could be possibly an area of strength.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, to answer the one part of the question, I think it's going to be at least 2-3 weeks until you'd see Vince Beagle out on the field. His injury happened in, what, May, I believe. It was his first NFL practice during the offseason program. And, he needs to work his way back. He's finally just actually having padded NFL practices. This is all new for him. So it's going to take a little bit for him to come back for that. And I think a good parallel for the comparison is Montrevious Adams suffered that foot injury. He missed a lot of time. He came back, played 6 snaps in week 3, and since then has been a healthy inactive on game day. And it's not because Montrevious Adams isn't living up to the billing or he's not doing well. It's because when you're a rookie and you miss that much practice time and you miss that much game action, I think to put any expectations on Vince Beagle being a difference maker this season would be a bit unfair. Not because he's not fully capable of doing it, but for a rookie to come in, miss pretty much 5 months, his first 5 months of being in the NFL as he's recovering from an injury, I would probably say whatever Vince Beagle does this year, let's say he hits the field for the first time, you know, middle of November or end of November, I think it should be looked at as a bonus to what the Packers defense would give you. And then if he stays healthy and gets a full offseason program in and he comes in for his second season, then we can kind of start to look at it. Because by that time, I mean, let's look at Ahmad Brooks is only on a 1-year contract. There's a lot of things that could happen in the offseason that could force Vince Beagle into a bigger role. So I think it's going to be a few weeks yet. Let him get some practices in. Maybe he'll play, you know, let's say it's the week 11 game and Vince Beagle's playing six snaps, eight snaps just to get his feet wet. That's probably going to be a process, you know, a multiple week, multiple month process for him to just try to get acclimated to the NFL and see what he can do in limited action as he comes back from an injury that obviously sidelined him for a long time.
I know they ran, and this will be the last one before I let you go, but I know they ran Aaron Jones more at the running back position, but they used Ty Montgomery to start. And I could see that he was doing some chip blocking. I could see that he was an outlet guy. I can see some of the plays that they ran him on. I understand it. My question then becomes, you know, when are you, because Ty Montgomery isn't the same threat back there. I mean, people don't know specifically what to expect out of Aaron Jones yet. Is he the real deal? And when he came in, it did make defenses look a little bit different. So at what point do you say Mike McCarthy has to trust Aaron Jones if he indeed is going to be your running back?
I'm surprised it didn't happen. I was very surprised to see Ty Montgomery start that game. Now, I remember looking, and I think in last week against Minnesota, I think Aaron Jones played like 40 snaps and Ty Montgomery played like 22, something in that range. So Aaron Jones ended up playing almost twice as many snaps as Ty Montgomery did. But when you first come out in your first package, and it turned out to be the only full drive that Aaron Rodgers had in that game, and you're running a lot with Ty Montgomery, or he's your option, I don't know what else Aaron Jones could do than what he didn't do in week five to make Mike McCarthy or anybody else a believer that Aaron Jones is the real deal and that he needs to be the featured ball carrier. It seems to be, there have been few things unanimous among Packers fans or seemingly from the outside looking in. But, Bill, have you heard or seen tweets from anybody who wants Ty Montgomery to be the lead ball carrier over Aaron Jones? It seems like unanimous among Packers fans that everybody wants Aaron Jones. And that's a pretty resounding thing to say because everyone was, I thought, feeling pretty good about Ty Montgomery coming into the year. Yeah, he had some question marks, but Aaron Jones was so darn good in that game that it seems odd that you wouldn't feature him at a very high level in terms of the amount of snaps.
Yep, no, I completely agree. Good stuff as always. We'll chat again tomorrow, okay?
All right, Bill.
All right, buddy, talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.